Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Richard Shawright.
I think what they've done is they've been very smart with the recruitment this year. I think they always seem to get a big Aussie signing over there, but I think this time what they've done is they've gone for a blend of the workmanlike players and then the big stars as well. Now, Glenn Stewart, for me, he's a massive signing and he is a big star, but the things that he does on the field, I think he's that catalyst between what Catalan's been looking for and what they've not had. He's a hard worker, he does all the little things right, and I think he's a great leader in that squad, and I think he's really being the person who's blended it all together for him. And then you put him in with the likes of Todd Carney, who now just seems to be able to find his running game, with Richie Myler as well, who's helping him at half, and they seem to look like a really good team.
Throw on the back of that, then you've got Dave Taylor, who's just a beast of a man.
Yeah, he is. I think a lot of people were a little bit sceptical about why he wanted to come over here and maybe questioned how he'd perform over here, but I think he's definitely answered his critics. He's a massive human and he seems to be working really hard for the team as well. And if he gets the ball inside your 10 yards, he's a hard man to stop. I think he's about 130 kilos, so you know he's going to take a bit of stopping, and he seems to be playing really well and enjoying himself over there in France.
Can they be in that mix, the final four, come the semi-finals?
I think this is the year for them, yeah. I think if they don't challenge this year, I don't think they're ever going to do it. They're not going to get a better squad than what they've got at the moment. I think if you look at 1 to 13, every player that's on that pitch for them is a great talent, and they've got some tough individuals as well. You throw into the mix with Glenn Stewart, people like Paul Layton, who's probably one of the toughest players that I've ever played with, and I think on the back of that, they've just got big humans everywhere, like Chris Nenu, he's a 110 kilo centre or winger, so they've just got dangerous people all over the field.
You shouldn't be allowed to be that big and play in the centre, should you? You should be made to play in the middle.
It should definitely be a rule on that one, yeah.
Good old Featherston lad, Danny Kerman there, speaking before the Hull Huddersfield game on Friday night. Say a good Featherston lad. It's been a good day for the WF postcode, certainly for council taxpayers in the West Wakefield Metropolitan District area. Anyway, Castleford coming from 18-0 down to beat Widnes 34-24. Wakefield beating Wigan 62-0. Yes, that's not a typo. And in the Championship, a win for Featherston Rovers away at Workington, scoring 50 points in the process. And joining us on the line is Joanne Fitzpatrick, live from Cumbria. Joanne, a great day for the Wakefield area. I'm very happy myself, obviously, as a Wakefield fan, but another big result there for Featherston Rovers as well.
Certainly is, Wakefield's victory is immense, isn't it? 62 points to nil, almost unbelievable. We couldn't believe it when we looked at that scoreline when we finished commentating today. But yeah, Featherston Rovers have been absolutely almost flawless, you know, and it's great to see.
Is that fifth in the table, same number of points as the Bradford Bulls, if this league table's correct in front of me. So it's a decent position to be in after 9 games of the season.
It certainly is, and we've just been kept under the radar a little bit at Featherston Rovers. I think I've probably said that earlier on in the season, and it's a great place to be. You know, no pressure on the boys. We've just come back from 2 losses to away at London, where we just ran out of steam, and we had that special last-minute loss to Halifax, didn't we, last week? And what we've come back today with this resounding victory, and when I was talking to John Sharp after the game, he said they'd worked really hard in training this week, and it was they got such a resounding victory to put those 2 losses to bed, and not to merge about the Halifax loss last week. You know, he was quite clear about that the guys shouldn't be licking the wounds. They should be getting back on it, and certainly have done today.
So it must be a very obviously, as you say, 2 defeats ended with that win today. But I guess looking at the table, same on points as Bradford, Batley just above on 13, but it may be the wheel starting to come off at Batley. And obviously they were expected to lose today in London and did so, but a good chance for Featherston in the upcoming weeks, after of course next week's cup game, to get into that all-important top four.
It is, yeah. We've got a real tough one, though, Richie. We've got Lee at home after that Batley Challenge Cup game, so that's going to be a real challenge for us, and it's going to be a test of our mettle. And the fact that we've had this victory today and we've had close losses to London and Halifax without our first-choice half-back pairing, you know, we've got Danny Craven in there at scrum-half today, the match, and Will Milner, who hasn't played a full game, first-team game, for a very long time. He was pulling up with cramping, but... the fact that we are able to win like this and be competitive just shows what team spirit we've got down at Featherstone Rovers at the moment.
And it shows what a tricky competition this one is to call. Obviously, you lose late against Halifax last week, and then they lose to Swinton today, which is a result no one would have seen coming.
Not really, no. But then when we played at Swinton, we did win fairly easily. Did come back in the second half, and you could see what their potential was, but... But Halifax, I would dare to say that maybe we took it out of them last week. You know, it was a real tough game that they had. They just won at the death, and they got a real pounding last week from Featherstone, from people like Daryl Griffin in the props and Andy Bostock. So, yeah, I think they'll have felt it and perhaps thought it was a bit of an easy game this week and rested on the laurels a little bit.
Now, you mentioned the big game coming up on Saturday, Fev on the telly against Batley away at Mount Pleasant in the Challenge Cup. And although it's seemingly impossible for a team from the Championship to get to Wembley these days, obviously this is a trophy that holds very, very fond memories for Rovers.
Oh, it is, yeah. We all talk about 1983. We, you know, absolutely loved that year, those of us are old enough to remember it, like me. But recent years when we beat Castleford 23-16 under Darryl Powell and almost beat Wigan, it was magical. And it's, as a fan, I'm sort of thinking, do we want to beat Batley? Do we want a Challenge Cup run, or do we want to concentrate on the league and get that top four spot that we really yearn after? It's a difficult one.
And we look at the top four this year, and I guess rather than looking at the top four, we look at the bottom four in Super League. And for the teams who get into the middle eights this year, the qualifiers, they could have some very, very big teams travelling to their stadium, because at the moment, we look at the position of Leeds and Huddersfield, and they're on these runs where they can't pick up a win. They could be coming to Post Office Road. They could be coming to the Big Fella Stadium very soon.
Yeah, we'd love them. We'd welcome them with open arms. You know, Leeds and their travelling support, it'd be absolutely fantastic. But we're not getting overexcited at the minute. We've got a long way to go in the season. And, we've got quite a few tough games to play. And we were looking today on the drive up, the running that Featherstone Rovers have got. We've got a quite tough tie culminating in the last game of the season, which is Bradford at home. So we've got a lot to do yet, but certainly... The team spirit that John Sharp has instilled into this Featherstone, something we've not seen for quite a few seasons. So it's great to be a Featherstone fan at the moment.
Obviously, you took over midway through last season. I guess, as you say, everyone must be fairly pleased with John Sharp's appointment by now.
Certainly, and we feel that he's made some really astute signings as well with Danny Craven. He brought Daryl Griffin to the club as well. And John Davis has just been astounding as well in defence and also in attack. So he has, and Missy Talapapa, he's made some quite astute signings that have had a massive difference, and Briggs and Thackeray too, although they're out injured at the moment.
So everything's good at Featherstone. I mean, you obviously must take no pleasure in the results of Castleford and Wakefield, obviously, but this proves proves that, you know, 20 years on, everyone was right to fight the good fight, and the Calder merger, which never happened, it was the right thing not to happen.
Yeah, said forever, colder never, that's what we say. And we still say it 20 years on. And I'm sure that Castleford and Wakefield fans would join us in that chant.
Do you take any pleasure from seeing Leeds near the bottom of the table? We had Michael Shentemans doing the commentary earlier this afternoon. He said, you know, as much as we're all talking about Leeds, oh, poor Leeds, what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Most people out there are going to be enjoying this situation at the moment because, you know, they've had 10 years of dominance and, you know, everyone can now have a bit of a point and a bit of a laugh.
It's good for the competition, I think, to have different teams at the top, and for Wigan to get a 62-0 drubbing by Wakefield today, I think it's, even though Wigan fans wouldn't agree, it's good for the competition. And Leeds were just getting a little bit cocksure, weren't they? So it's taken them down a peg or two. It's not a bad thing.
We'll just kick people today. So generally, Joanne Featherstone, very positive at the moment. And as you say, plenty of hard work to do, though, between now and the end of the season, or the split into the Super 8s.
That's certainly true, yeah. But they certainly look up for it, do the boys, so we'll be supporting them all the way.
Well, I look forward to watching the game against Batley on the telly next week. And I can't say, obviously, fingers crossed we'll see Feathers in the next round, because Batley, obviously, from West Yorkshire as well. But at least there's another West Yorkshire team in the hat. And if Wakefield beat Sheffield on the Friday night game, obviously you're saying, oh, it's difficult, Featherstone, do we want to go to the Wembley? Do we want to have a good cup run? Do we want to be in the top four? If you decide to be in the top four, more than happy to draw Wakefield in the next round. That would be a perfect situation.
I was hoping to join Wakefield this round, but it wasn't to be, but hey-ho.
Well, fingers crossed it happens in round six anyway. Joanne, yeah. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the trip back from Cumbria. Have a safe journey to you and the rest of the Featherstone fans up there. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Speak to you again soon.
No problem. Joanne Fitzpatrick there. Joining us live on the phone from Cumbria. Big win for Featherstone Rovers this afternoon.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. More games than any other radio station. Now that's what I call unrivalled.
Mark Wilson rejoins us from the Select Security Stadium in Widnes. Well, you've watched a cracking game this afternoon. 34 points to 24 to the Castleford Tigers. I've said it sounded in commentary, Mark, when Castle were 18-0 down early on. It sounded that a lot of that was down to their errors rather than Widnes's great play. Was that how the commentary was supposed to come across?
Yeah, no, it was. That's exactly right. You know, Dennis Betts referred to that after the game. You know, he said we got the points on the back of a couple of high kicks that they couldn't deal with, and that's what happened. You know, I think Castle were a little bit unhappy with their defence off the back of those mistakes, but it was what it was. Widnes, you know, 12-0 up early doors. You wondered if the intercept try was going to be the turning point at 18-0. But I look back, actually, when Mellor made that break down the far side and Luke Gale got back and tackled him. He offloaded the ball in field, and that maybe was a game-changing moment. But Castleford, for me, fully deserved the win.
And Widnes, I guess we talked about perhaps the wheels coming off of them slightly, but That's just a big win for Castleford. Seventh in the table now. Two wins in a row after that defeat against the Catalans away from home, which we can pretty much write off on Easter Monday. So it's been a good couple of weeks for the Castleford Tigers.
Of course it has, you know, and that's the thing. And these are the results. So when you get to the mix at the end and you know who's where on the table, this is what counts, isn't it? And that's the thing. How are they going to end up? And these will be the results that will determine where Castleford will finish on the league ladder. And fair play to them today. Thought they were full value for the win.
And I've got the league table up. Catalans second. 14 points, 5 wins in a row for them. You were obviously at the game on Thursday against Hull Kingston Rovers. We'll talk about the Rovers in a moment, but Catalan Dragons back to where they were a couple of years ago, it seems.
Looks that way, mate. Looks that way. You know, playing well at the minute, and more to come, I would suggest. I've seen them probably 3 or 4 times live now this year, and they've always impressed me. They've had, especially when they were at Wakefield, they blew them away early on, then had a bit of a 20-minute downtime, then turned it on again in the second half. And I think when they get the 80-minute performance, they're going to be a handful for anyone, whoever they're playing. And of course, 4 successive away wins. They're looking for 5 at Saints on Thursday. That'll be a real marker, with Saints coming off the back of that good win at Warrington, of just where the Dragons are at the minute. But I think if they go there and win, then that'll make a lot more people sit up and take note.
You've seen Hull KR a couple of times in recent weeks. You saw them in their valiant efforts against the Wigan Warriors on Easter Monday, but that sounds like night and day from the performance you saw on Thursday.
Yeah, it does. You know, they were, I mean, they didn't touch the ball for 11 minutes. You know, they got blown away early on, and they didn't really have the answers. And to be fair to the defence of the Dragons, they never really took the foot off the gas to give Hull KR a chance, and they were left feeding off scraps. You know, no Campese, no Kelly, didn't quite have that creativity to break them down, and it showed. You know, they just couldn't put any points on the board. And of course, as the scoreline went against them, they got more and more desperate, started doing more and more risky things, and turning the ball over more and more, and there's only one way the game's going once you get down that avenue. So, you know, they've got the cup this week, and James Webster said it's going to be nice just to spend some time with the players on the training field rather than literally bandaging and patching people up for them to come back out and play.
We'll talk about the bottom of the table in a moment. Sky have just tweeted out the highlights from today's game at Bellevue, so I'm just watching this at the moment.
Okay.
And Wigan are in their awful third kit, which makes them look like a bunch of stewards. And they've just let the Wakefield players walk through the defence. It's very nice of them to do that. I I was trying to think of a time when Wakefield would have nilled Wigan in recent years, or I don't think they've ever scored as many points against Wigan. I saw the Trinity Heritage account on Twitter say 46 was the most points they've scored against Wigan.
Wow.
But 60, I still can't comprehend this. I'm watching the tries now and I still can't comprehend this result, because we're talking about the team who avoided relegation last year in the £1 million game versus a team who were in the grand final and were a couple of minutes away from winning the league leader's shield and winning the title. And I know that they've got injuries, but everyone's got injuries.
Yeah, they have. You know, I just said to Darryl, we just had a big chat with Darryl Lear from that after 6 o'clock, I'm sure, but just had a chat with him off air as well, and, you know, said it's all about attitude, and he said it is. You know, his team came here today, they'd highlighted this is a game that they were going to win, and they played accordingly. Even when they went behind, they never stopped. Once they got into their game routine, having given Widnes 18 start, they never really looked as though there was going to be any other outcome than them winning. And, you know, you look at who's not playing. We read that list out, didn't we, at the end of the game. There's a lot of talent to come back into this Castleford side and play like that, and you had that talent in, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I know Wigan have got a lot to come back in as well, and, you know, no more so than Sam Tompkins, who's hopefully going to be back in a few weeks, and you know, I'm sure they'll kick on, but it's what they can do in the short term. I tell you what, Castleford go to Wigan, is it Friday night? It's going to be interesting, isn't it, now? And there'll be a, you know, there'll be a wounded animal, Wigan, and there'll be a big response, you would expect, from Sean Wayne's men on Friday night.
Well, while he's away on holiday, I can say this. Obviously, Scully was poo-pooing your suggestion that Castle finish in the top four, but they're only 3 points off fourth place at the moment, thanks to their run at the moment, and obviously Wigan with a couple of defeats in a row. We could see a very different top four than we have in recent years this year.
Could do, you know, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it? And, you know, with the Dragons up there as well, it almost puts pressure on everyone else. And what it means is we've got more teams competing now. And, you know, when that's going to happen, you've got uncertainty of outcome. It's nice going to games, as we've said, when you don't know who's going to win. Too many times in the past, you've probably known who's going to win, just a question of how many they would win by. That's different now. You're going every week, genuinely, you're not quite sure what's going to happen. And, you know, that's a fantastic thing about sport, isn't it? When you've got that uncertainty of outcome, you've got a little bit of excitement, and it adds to the competition.
Well, let's talk about the bottom of the table, because it was something you and Michael mentioned in commentary, but we look at the table now, and it's still ridiculous to say Huddersfield the bottom on 2 points, Leeds Rhinos just above them on four. There's now, and I know Wakefield have played a game more and so have Salford, but there is a 6 point gap between Leeds and Wakefield and Salford, 8 points between Huddersfield and Wakefield and Salford, and those are the teams in eighth and ninth in the table right now. There is, it's got to be serious now whether these two teams can make the top eight. Top four's gone. And I know Brian McDermott said in a press conference they can still make the top four. And mathematically, of course, they can.
Mm.
But they've got to be aiming to get into the eight now, surely.
Yeah, but they whereas Paul, and he said, didn't he, on a SWAT team Wednesday, said, I didn't actually say that we're not going for the top eight or top four. He just said we want to make sure we're in that the top eight, if you like. I don't think Leeds can come out and make that admittance, can they, at the minute? They've just got to keep fighting and see what they can produce. You know, they could quickly turn it around, but at the minute they look a million miles off. And they, like I said earlier, they've got some tough games. It's all on Friday, and then they've got Saints away the week after. So they're in a bit of trouble, clearly.
And we keep saying this, but how do you turn it around? Because we don't know what the problem is. It seems Wakefield's problem was perhaps the coach's methods before Chris Chesner came in. I don't see what can change at Leeds or Huddersfield so dramatically so quickly. Because if Wakefield had lost today against Wigan, everyone would just go, Wakefield have lost against Wigan. Yeah. You would have expected that to happen. If they'd lost against, you know, any of the teams in this run, you'd have gone, well, fair enough, that was bound to happen, so on and so forth. We'll see what happens next week. For Leeds and Huddersfield, they shouldn't be where they are. And can you keep blaming injuries? Can you keep blaming the flooding at the training centre or whatever? It's eventually, all the excuse, and I don't really want to say they're excuses, but that's what they are. Eventually, you can't use them anymore, and you've got to look at the real reasons as to why Huddersfield have 2 points and Leeds Rhinos have 4 points.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's,
and we don't know what they are.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. That's the million-dollar question.
I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later. Leeds take on Hull on Friday. I think I'm going to that one. Huddersfield at home to Warrington. Hull KR 10th, Wakefield 9th, Salford 8th. Salford, obviously 14-0 up yesterday against Leeds. Pretty much the opposite of what they did against Wakefield. And Ian Watson said that last week after the Wakefield game. They were slow to start last week. This week they completely turned things around.
Yeah, and you know that's what you've got to do when you're playing teams under pressure. And that's the thing I think we're seeing now with the teams that are under pressure, is that you saw it with Castleford last week. They took the game to Huddersfield. They try to put them under pressure. And it, all of a sudden, when you haven't got those wins, normally when you're winning, you'll sneak a win when maybe you wouldn't have got one. When you're losing, you find a way to lose, don't you? And that's the problem. And now, whereas Leeds would have been a fearsome opponent in the past, I think people are sensing a bit of weakness and they're going in for the kill and thinking, right, we're going to get you before you get us. And you know that's how they're doing it. And Salford last night, fantastic result for them. Their biggest challenge now is doing that consistently, isn't it? Because they've had good wins and then maybe backed it up with disappointing losses, and they'll be hoping that they can build on that.
So a good weekend for Salford. Castleford, St Helens now in sixth.
Yeah,
and I know I keep saying this every week, but I can't work them out. I know they beat Warrington on Friday. I've not seen the game because I was at Hull. But 25-22, I thought going into that game, big Warrington win. I know Sandow was out, but they've still got plenty of other players around him. But Theo Farge, we've been saying for weeks, why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? Why is he not playing? And it sounds like he was the star in that game.
Yeah, certainly I watched that one. And yeah, he did. He had a really good game, and fair play to him for that. And I think that's what the fans have been a little bit disappointed with, is that, you know, he hasn't been getting a regular game, has he? They brought him in to do a job, and he showed the other night quite clearly against one of the, if not the best team in the competition at the minute, that he can do that job. So you've got to let him have a go at it, haven't you? And I think now that might be his breakthrough. So hopefully for his point of view, he'll kick on and become a regular and a firm favourite at Saints.
Yeah, him and Walsh as a steady half-back partner. Less people at Wakefield talking about wanting Jacob Burns in now instead of Jacob Miller. Now Miller appears to be finding some form. And Hull FC, third in the table, 14 points, 7 wins, 5 on the bounce. Whatever the players said to each other in the changing room at the Select Security Stadium where you're sat right now a few weeks ago appears to have been exactly what they needed to do, because their form has turned around completely since then.
Yeah, no, third in the table, aren't they, Hull, at the moment, and you know, on a real good run of form. What you would say at the minute, they've not had too many injuries. You know, you could argue in the last couple of years they've had probably more than their fair share, but Hull at the minute, injury free to the extent where they can leave Ellis and Minicello out when they're not quite 100%, and that's going to make them strong in the next few weeks as well. And as we said, they got a Headingley on Friday night, another marker game for them. If they can go there and get a win, then you know, you've got to start talking about them as serious contenders at the top. You know, we're nearly halfway through the season before the split takes place, so these are big games now. But they sit there, you know, they're at level with Catalan and Wigan, but they've got Widnes and Saints breathing down their backs, and then further down Castleford just 3 points behind as well.
I mean, I was at that game, and at half time Huddersfield were in that one 18-16 down. It was just a Dannebrough conversion that was the difference, a misconversion that was the difference between the two sides. Then he goes and gets sin-binned after Hull extend their lead at the start of the second half, and Hull score a couple of tries and game over. It's, I know Paul Anderson didn't want to blame that on the defeat, but I'm a simple man, and that seemed to be the turning point of the game to me.
Well, there you go, you know, and that's it, isn't it? But, you know, there's clearly something not right there, and, you know, they'll be disappointed by what they're producing, and, you know, there's going to come a tipping point, isn't there, for them. They need to start winning. They need to start winning quickly.
I mean, we don't know what goes on in dressing rooms, but it seems that the Hull players, as mentioned, took it upon themselves to get their situation sorted out. And obviously, we don't know what's going on elsewhere, but it appears that other teams' players need to do that themselves as well. Because as Scoey always says, it's down to the players at the end of the day.
Well, it's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be. You know, and you look, you know, you could argue for Leeds, they have got some people missing. I'm not too sure that Huddersfield have, and that might, you know, then you start to question the recruitment. Obviously, there's a lot of reference to the missing Brett Ferris. Whenever we speak to any Huddersfield players, it always seems to get brought up by them, not by us. And so you can sense there's a great deal of disappointment about that one, but it is what it is. They've got to adapt and they've got to get on with it, and they need to do it sooner rather than later.
I mean, that was obviously a situation not of Huddersfield's making, but you have to play with the cards dealt to you, and they decided to let him go.
Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. More games than any other radio station. Now that's what I call unrivaled.